afternoon, happy Lou Riel Day, and welcome to a sequel to our most heavily requested, our highest reviewed, our most popular episode of Game Over. Welcome to Music Episode 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super awesome. Yeah, it's the music episode was in May. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Felt like we did it like not that long ago, and yet it was all the way in May. Why? Can you hear yourself?
I cannot. Can you hear me?
Hold on. There we go.
There I am.
There we go. We don't
the sound of my own voice.
We don't want to hear just Matt all day. That would be no good. Yeah, I'm high professional. I definitely had.
Yeah, in my head,
in
my head, I was sort of thinking of it as like a, as sort of like our biannual thing. Now it's like, no, it's just straight up almost a year since we did it.
I was literally looking back because UMFM. Podcasts basically expire after a certain period of time, and you can set them to be like a keeper, which makes it last for a little longer, but then they still expire. And so, yeah, our first, if I'm gonna try to hunt down a download, I must have downloaded on something, but our first music episode went over very well, and so we're happy to have it back. It's just your host, Simon Pazdor, and faithful squad mate Matt Manier. This is a rare setup,
two player game today,
yeah, because usually Adam's here, or if just two of us, it's usually me and Adam, not me and you, but this is a nice twist. Adam has work to do, university work on his day off. What a
holiday!
I know what a real trooper. You know, he's just such a champion. But you and I, we get to come in and talk about one of our favorite topics, which is music. And by the way, the first thing I want to do, we have the full hour today, generously donated to us by the TV Talkers people. So thanks, TV Talkers people, of which we're two of them. So thanks us. I gotta say that
we're great.
They're so awesome. At least 2/5. Of the TV Talkers people. Or minimum 2/5. Possibly 5/5. But minimum 2/5.
Possibly.
They're not listening. Or maybe they are. I would love to have that. That would be great. But when I was trying to think of video game music, I mean, we have a huge playlist each. We got through like a third of our playlist last time. So we're just going to repeat those. But we also have, you said, a friend of yours.
So
makes some like 8-bit music? Or I didn't get a chance to listen to it, actually. I've been so busy.
Yeah. So it's, his name's Skylar Hunt. You can check him out on Spotify or Bandcamp. He does sort of video game inspired 8-bit or 16-bit. I'm not sure of the actual sort of terminology for it. But old school sort of video game inspired type music.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Actually, speaking of, so we're going to listen to a little bit of his stuff. We're also going to go through our playlist. But, you know, when we're talking about video game music that we need to listen to, I don't even think we played it last time, but our theme music is video game music. So it's a remix of the Bowser's Castle theme.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, from Super Mario World. And there's a couple other ones out there, but it's just really good. So we're going to play a little bit more of it, because usually people only hear like the 15-second bit that I play.
Oh, okay, now I hear it.
Yeah. So we're going to play a little bit more of it, and then we're going to move on to some other stuff that we have queued up for you guys. So enjoy our musical episode. We'll be right back. I'm happy to have that as a theme. I really like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I've listened to a few other sort of Bowser's Castle themes. That's one of my favorite ones. I put that song on a CD back in the day when CDs were a thing, 10 years ago now, and I took it to my guitar teacher. And it wasn't so much like there was zero chance of me ever playing that on guitar. But I wanted to see if he could play it on guitar. And so, like, he kind of said, like, if I sat down and really tried to learn it, I could probably attempt it. But I don't think he ever did. I kind of always wanted to. I'm going to call him out, a friend of ours, Sean Stevenson. Who's a guitar genius. I always kind of wanted to see if he could. I'll throw down the gauntlet. Sean, if you're listening to this, you should go out and you should try to do a cover of Monstrous Turtles. Because, I could play the backing track. There's power chords in the back. I could do that. I could definitely do that part. So we're going to play the next song we're going to play is called Invincible from WoW. So Matt, I didn't know if you were, are you a big WoW player? I've forgotten.
I used to be. I played a lot during high school. I haven't played, basically, for people in the know, the last expansion I played was Cataclysm. Oh. So not for 5 or 6 years. But in high school, I was big into it. And World of Warcraft for me is sort of one of the like giants when I think of video game music. Just the amount that they put out is crazy. I mean, you can go on YouTube and find, like, you know, best of World of Warcraft music part 4 that's like 3 hours long. So like there's just a ridiculous amount of music, and for the most part it's really excellent. I went sort of researching for this. I was going back and listening to some of just the area sort of like ambient tracks. Mm-hmm. And like it really took me back. I was like, oh man, that Elwynn theme is so nice. I had that a lot listening back to this stuff. So yeah, but this is Invincible, which is from the Wrath of the Lich King expansion. And so for those who don't know, Invincible was the horse of the Prince of Lordaeron, now the Lich King Arthas, who after he gained all of his sort of undead wizardy powers, went back and brought his dead battle steed Invincible back to life. And so this track is titled Invincible, and it's sort of Arthas's theme as well as Invincible's.
That's pretty sweet. When you said Invincible, I was thinking, because there's a Two Steps from Hell song called Invincible, I was like, is it just going to be that? But I haven't heard this yet, so I'm pretty excited. So this is, as you said, Invincible from World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Go!
That was super epic. Yep.
Yep.
That got me in the mood.
For people who know Arthas's story, it's very sad too. I get a lot of feels listening to that.
Uh-huh. I'm going to I've never been a World of Warcraft fan because I just didn't have a computer powerful enough to run it until recently. Mm-hmm. And now I don't have enough friends that I would want to play with. but it always seemed appealing. And obviously, like, Blizzard to make high quality everything. So it doesn't surprise me that the soundtrack for Blizzard games would be tremendous too. There's not a lot that I want to play because we played a ton of Zelda songs last time, and I don't want to play a ton. That was quite loud. But in Breath of the Wild, and you've played Breath of the Wild, Neil is now in front of us. What, you're on a... Yeah, we'll get you in there, Neil, because you're going to introduce a song that's going to come up in a second. But in Breath of the Wild, there's not a lot of music in the game. But in a few places, in the Hyrule Castle, I believe, and the Temple of Time, they play these very slow theme songs. And so people figured out, and I believe this video is one of them, that if you sped them up... Yeah, so this is... So that original bit, I'm going to introduce this because I was happy that this video doesn't have any talking in it because I hadn't watched it yet. But basically, it plays very slow. So this little bit that you're going to hear here is the guy speeding gameplay up 4 times. So he probably could have just sit around, but that's a pretty sneaky way to fit the theme in there.
Yeah.
Like, to just slow it crazy down, and then for the one person who's dedicated enough to speed it up, they would get rewarded with that. Unfortunately, that guy was climbing and getting items during the video. But I don't have much to say about the Zelda music, because we already talked so much about it last time. But
It's pretty much universally fantastic.
Since I'm now newly addicted to Breath of the Wild, it's definitely got my hooks into me this time. I had to get in there somewhere. Now, we have... Neil came back.
Never left.
You're all year. That's right. You just sleep on like one of the couches.
Pretty much.
So, you have a song for us.
I do, yeah. When I heard you guys were doing a music show, I asked. I'm like, you guys are playing a Castlevania song, right? And I got blank stares. And I was disappointed. So, I hopped on the computer and shot a message off here with a link. And the one I chose here... You know, if for the Castlevania fans, though, they're probably aware there's fantastic music in... That's, like, a hallmark of the series. It's just, like, really memorable tunes, even since, like, the NES, with, like, the limited hardware. Like, the tunes themselves have been, like, so good. And then, of course, when you jump to the Super Nintendo, you know, you still got the same... Probably the same composers. You still got, like, a really good team making the music, but now the technology's there to kind of, like... bump it up the next level. So the one I chose was from Super Castlevania 4, probably one of my favorite, definitely my favorite, like, classic Castlevania. And so this one is Submerged City. It's a level, and it's just got a really cool kind of like jazzy feel to it, and you can hear like the synthesized double bass playing. It's really good.
Yeah, the double bass is really cool. So yeah, we'll turn us down, we'll turn it up so you guys can enjoy. It's called Submerged City.
Enjoy.
Or the Submerged City. Thank you. Yeah, that was pretty good. So Neil, he's like a wisp. He's come and he's gone.
Yeah, that was like technologically better sounding than I would expect for Super
that
Nintendo.
That was extraordinary for the SNES. Yeah. And he was right that it literally felt like that song would fit in a jazz club.
Yeah, yeah, not at all what I expect from Castlevania.
No, yeah, maybe I got to play more Castlevania games just for the music. Yeah. Anyway, we're not going to try to talk too much. That's going to be tough for me. There is a slight topic I might want to talk about in a little bit because there's a news story. But we're going to keep it light and happy. Persona 5.
Speaking of light and happy.
Speaking of light and happy, people love this game. So it's not just you.
Yeah,
people
I'm adore this game. Many people do. I am one of them. Sort of recently got back into playing it a bit. And the music throughout the game is really excellent. So the one that I picked is basically sort of the main like intro music. And honestly, I think I've probably sat on the main menu just listening to this thing go on repeat in the background for like, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 hours total.
This next song here.
Yeah. Between how good the music is and how short you have to sit there before it plays it again, I've listened to this thing so many times.
Okay, so it's called Get Wake Up, Get Up, Get Out There.
Yes, and it is in English, surprising. I only learned that a couple of days ago.
Oh. As it sounds like it's not in English?
Not really, no. But yeah, this is the main theme for Persona 5.
That was rad. This episode's turning out to be way funkier than I thought it was going to be, but that is the exact opposite of a problem.
Yeah, and really the entire game has that sort of like funky, upbeat energy through the whole thing. All of the music, the whole game. It really does a good job of sort of, that's the intro, this is what the game is going to be like.
Right on. That's, that was good. I kind of want to listen to it more, actually. I see why you just sat on that screen.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm going to be a little sad here because I'm going to now ruin everything. Actually, you know what? There is one song. I think I played it last time, and so I'm going to talk over it. I definitely played this last time, but I'm going to play it again because if you want to talk about funky music video games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I put this on my list again for this one. Theme for the funkiest of all funky characters.
We definitely played this song last time, but, like, it's so good. So for those of you who... Oh, wait, hold on. I can't talk to the guitar. Yeah, so Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness, the Mirror Bee theme is outstanding.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, that's the theme for basically a disco character who has a gigantic afro that's dyed to look like a Pokeball.
Yeah, and he dances in his Pokemon dance. And then,
the entire time.
And you can just sit there, and it's remarkable. But as much as I would love to play that song just forever, I won't. I won't subject people to that. Unless you like it, in which case, go out and listen to it.
I'm sure there's a 10-hour loop of it somewhere.
Oh, for sure. That one that I just played there was half an hour already, just by itself. So, now, I don't think I played this last time. I want to throw more love at The Witcher 3. So, The Witcher 3, I'm Polish. Half. I'm not as Polish as, say, another radio show host here, Petey Naraki, who's fantastic. There Is an Alternative is his show. Do you remember that name? He's hardcore Polish. And I'm a little bit Polish, but when a Polish game comes out, they're not frequent. And The Witcher 3 is one of them. It's made by a Polish studio, CD Projekt Red. And everything about this game was easy to love, including the soundtrack, which was done by a Polish folk band. So, you know, it didn't, for a big game, it didn't necessarily have the huge orchestral stuff that you would expect out of a BioWare or EA game or something like that, right? It has a, when you're battling, it has like a very folky Celtic vibe to it.
Yeah, it's the sort of very like raw strings.
Yeah, but it really works. So we're going to listen to a little bit of this. This one's called Sword of Destiny, just the main theme of The Witcher 3. That got me hyped up.
Oh yeah, I love all the like the eastern sort of harmonies and tonalities in there. It's great.
Yeah, and then just sort of the wailing, which works.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of that vocal style in all music.
Yeah, it works well. So I don't want to spend too much time babbling. So we're going to move over to Skylar Hunt.
Yeah,
that's how I pronounce it.
That is his name. Yes,
there's a couple extra letters now that I didn't expect.
Yeah.
But that's his name. So he does 8-bit music, and we're going to play a song called Emulated Reality, which is kind of the perfect, I mean, that's what video games are, especially these days. So I have never listened to this before. I'm pretty excited about it. You've listened to it, and you've approved it.
Yes, I have.
It's given the Matt seal of approval, which is high praise. So we're going to listen to Emulated Reality by Skylar Hunt, the local Winnipeg boy.
Yes, he is.
Wow. So Skylar, if you're out there, this better be good. No pressure. I'm sure it will. Here we go. In the joyous. Yeah, so we had a playlist going there. We're gonna stop that. We're gonna give Skylar a fair cop here. We're gonna restart his song from the beginning without the YouTube playlist in the background. Continue to go. Here we go. Now I'm Emulated Reality. Wow. That was really good.
Yeah.
I genuinely enjoyed that quite a bit. Listen to that. That was solid. And we were talking about it while the music was playing. It does sound very Zelda. So
yeah.
He's taken influences from...
Mainly the Great Fairy theme.
Great Fairy theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, to be honest with you, one of my favorite themes.
Zelda. Yeah, it's absolutely great. And all the tracks on there, I think, sort of pay homage to something in particular. Like, there's a Pokemon battle kind of thing and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
We're going to listen to that one next. You can't tell me there's a Pokemon song without listening to it. So this one's called Rapid Spin by local Winnipegger Skyler Hunt. Let's get a listen. That was, there was absolutely no confusing what that one was about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But effective. It's really,
very much so.
Felt like it belonged.
I'm 100% down for any sort of Pokemon theme remix or anything like that.
Agreed. Yeah, that was solid.
So yeah, if you want to check out the rest of his stuff titled Emulated Reality, his name's Skyler Hunt, you can check him out on Spotify or Bandcamp.
Yeah, I'm new. I've never heard of Bandcamp before, but it's pretty cool. You can get your I get to create a little profile. I can upload a profile picture, probably give a thumbs up or something like that. Who knows? Anyway, it's 5:30, so we're halfway through the show, and I blinked and I missed it. Now we're halfway through. It's a shame. But what else is a shame is what's happening in America right now. So we're not in, it's not going to be entirely a musical episode. It's going to be 95% of a musical episode. But we're not going to talk about gun control because we're not a gun radio show. But people are, once again, I felt like it was gone for a while, that people were blaming violence on video games. And now it's back. I thought we had moved past this. People were violent before video games. People will be violent when they move on to the next thing. People are violent, you know. You have to deal with the people. Don't play video games. It's so tiring. And part of the reason I studied psychology, to be quite honest with you, when I first started, is because I was so interested in, like, is there a link? No, there's not. There's absolutely none. The link that people were able to find was, I think I read a study one time. I didn't read a study. I read an abstract to a study because no one reads.
Yeah.
If you say that you read like the 200-page study, you're lying.
You, sir, are a liar.
Yeah, you're a liar. But basically, I think it was like if you leave a ninja movie, you think you're a ninja for 5 minutes. But the feeling of wanting to enact violence and like the carryover, the what's the word that they use in Pacific Rim? The blur or the bleed effect, I suppose?
Yeah.
The bleed over, it's very brief. Like, it's definitely there, but it's super brief, and it wears off very quickly. So, stop blaming video games, people. Stop trying to come up with an easy answer to a complicated problem.
Yeah, the thing that I never understood about that argument was that statistically, we are basically in the least violent time that we have ever experienced as humans. But video games have only existed for the last 30 years or so.
Mm-hmm. So we would like to conclusively say video games make people less violent. We can say that.
Yeah.
Because that's as much of a correlation, causation link as they're getting, right?
Yeah.
There's a correlation between us being the least violent period of history and the most popular video game.
There's a correlation between people being alive and committing violence.
You're not wrong. I could probably even say that's a causation. Because people are alive, they cause violence. And because there's violence, people have to be alive. So it's someone out there is just screaming at the radio because of how much we butcher the scientific method there. But you see what I mean?
Putting the degrees to good use.
It's hard to take this kind of stuff seriously when, like, I remember it was a few years ago. After it's sad that there's so many of these that I can't remember the specific one.
Yeah.
It might have been Sandy Hook, which was a truly appalling massacre. And I was like, I was watching, I don't think it was CNN, I think it was CBC or NBC or some news station, and they were interviewing like a 7-year-old. And the interview was, oh, I'm, because of what happened, I'm throwing away all my video games. And I was like, and like the news anchors all like, you're so brave for trying to come. He's doing nothing. He's getting rid of, if anything, like most people de-stress with video games. Like that's probably one of the biggest reasons people play them is because life is stressful. And then you can have a simulated controlled area.
And what is that 7-year-old throwing away? It's like, oh, I'm not going to play Pokemon and Animal Crossing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, partly because of my jobs, my various duties, I tend to think that a lot. Like, if there's a kid who's doing something strange, like, I always question the parents. So if you're blaming video games have a rating system. So don't blame the kid for playing it. If you have a problem with a kid playing a game, why did that parent buy that game for that kid? Right? And it's not just exclusive to video games. I mean, we're branching out a little bit here. And I don't want to make this soapbox too long. But, like, have you seen that Deadpool clip? Where it's going around where Ryan Reynolds is talking about, why are there kids seeing Deadpool?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he spoils how babies are made. Yeah, so it's stuff like that. It's... We're back to this.
Yeah. I was with you. I really thought this argument was gone. It had been a while.
Yeah. Like, the early 2000s, like, early to mid-2000s seemed to be when the whole are video games art and do video games cause violence was at, like, at its peak.
Yeah.
And then it felt like for the last decade we really had gotten out of that. But it's a shame. Shame that we're not. I mean, there are many things that are a shame. Like, we're sort of looking at the tiniest problem tiniest pebble in a mountain of problems that the world is going through right now. But... You know, we're a lowly video game show. We can only do so much. We can only change the world so much. Anyway. Yeah. You got some Dark Souls on here. You got some Final Fantasy.
I got all kinds of good stuff.
You got all kinds of good stuff. I do see you do have the Mirror B theme on yours, too. That's great. But we're going to play Final Fantasy. Now, are you a big Final Fantasy fan?
Not generally. I've played way too much Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. Mm-hmm. And I've played Final Fantasy 15. And that's it.
So this song is from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, this is the main battle theme. I figured we just sort of left off with, you know, the Pokemon sort of battle remix. Got some more Japanese battle music now. So yeah, this is the main battle theme from Final Fantasy 15, which has many flaws, but the soundtrack is not one of them. The whole thing is fantastic.
So it's entitled Stand Your Ground is the official name for it. So let's give it a listen. That sounds to me like it belongs in Super Smash Bros.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know why. It just feels like it would fit with the Super Smash Bros. Style of music.
Noctis for Super Smash Bros. Switch confirmed.
Well, I mean, first of all, I would like to get Super Smash Bros. Switch confirmed.
Yes.
But I believe, I'm blanking on his name, but the guy who made Super Smash Bros. And Kirby, he sounded pretty burned out by the by making Super Smash Bros. Speaking of games that had a lot of flaws, not as many as Final Fantasy XV, because I think you finished Final Fantasy XV, did you not?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So speaking of games that had even more flaws, but the soundtrack not being one of them, Mass Effect Andromeda was a game that I still haven't finished it, have you?
No.
Almost a year later. What a tragedy. But, again, the soundtrack was not one of them. So they switched. They, you know, you can debate the merits of it, because we talked frequently last time about how great the themes from Mass Effect, the series, was. We played Vigil, we played Leaving Earth, among others, I believe. We might have even played the Krogan theme.
And there was a lot of Mass Effect.
It was a lot of Mass Effect.
As there should be.
So we haven't talked about Mass Effect in a solid, like, 6 months, because we just kind of block it out of their mind. But I'm going to kill his name. John Paisano? Paisano?
Johnny P.
Johnny P. That's the guy who did the score for Mass Effect Andromeda. He's the same guy who did the Daredevil soundtrack, was the other thing that I knew him from.
Okay.
And, like, the Netflix Daredevil, which was outstanding. The Daredevil theme is one of my favorite movies. I mean, stay tuned for TV Talkers in March. If you want to talk about TV show theme songs. But it honestly is one of my favorite TV show theme songs of all time. I love it so much. And the Andromeda soundtrack was solid. Like, this guy actually did his job, unlike the facial animators. Ho! Bazinga! So, this is, we're not going to delve too deep in it. This one's called A Better Beginning. It's kind of the main theme. And I honestly, I think it's really good. I think it's a better experience than playing the game.
Just listen to this. You'll have more fun than playing Andromeda.
Just still mad salty after a year, but this song is pretty good. Better Beginning by Johnny P. Johnny Paisano. I'm assuming that's how I pronounce his name. I really like when a theme of the game can be heard in the soundtrack. That's probably why I like The Witcher, you know, like sort of the themes of The Witcher, of almost tribal, ancient European combat kind of comes through. A major theme of Andromeda, for all its failings, was exploration. Like, yeah, it was far more of a theme, just based on the way it was, than the original trilogy. I can say that, I guess, about Mass Effect. Yeah, so a major thing was that, like, they kept talking about it all the darn time, right?
I mean, that was sort of the point of the game.
That was the point of the game, for exploration. And it really does feel like that song makes you feel like you're going off into the unknown.
Yeah, and for me, it does a really great job of expressing the sort of, like, sense of wonder and sort of curiosity, like, looking out into the, you know, the void and just sort of wondering what's there.
That's exactly it, yeah. You can almost feel yourself on the spaceship sort of looking out through a window. So you can't be on a Geth ship because, of course, Geth doesn't have a structural weakness. But on a human ship, you could look out through the window and just see the vastness of space and wonder what's out there. It's beautiful. It's powerful.
Yeah. Listening to that makes me angry that Andromeda couldn't live up to that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, I mean, oh, man, if the game along with this track was as good as this track is.
Yeah. I mean, Mass Effect Andromeda and like, to go to delve far too deep into my personal life, both Mass Effect Andromeda and Breath of the Wild came out at a time in my personal life when I wasn't super happy about much of anything. And so I've given Breath of the Wild a new chance, and good God am I adoring it. And so maybe I'll have to give Andromeda. I'm less convinced with Andromeda than I was.
That'd be brave of you.
That I was with Breath of the Wild, yeah. Because Breath of the Wild is such a breath of the fresh air. Yeah. Although, I'm going to talk for 30 seconds about Breath of the Wild. I don't need to talk more than that because the rest of the universe has proclaimed their love for it. But I still stand by what I said. Were you even here last week? No, you weren't.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. I think
it took me too long to remember that.
No, it's fine. Adam and I were talking about it because he had just started playing it too. And the things that annoyed me a year ago and annoyed Adam still annoy me. It's like the issues that I have are still absolutely there. But once you get into the actual game, it's so big that they get so many concepts right that the few they don't get right, they get away with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it absolutely has some blemishes, but the things that it does well, it does better than anything, pretty much. It's pretty fun. And, like, I'm loving my Switch. I'm finally using the Switch as it's supposed to be. Like, up until this past couple weeks, the Switch was basically always just plugged in, and occasionally I would hop on and play Fire Emblem Warriors, whereas now I'm taking it to work with me. I'm playing it on my breaks.
You're switching it up?
I'm switching it up, yeah. I have a nickname around work. it's Switch. But that's fine. Hey, that's a pretty cool
nickname.
Plenty
worse nicknames to have.
That's a pretty sweet nickname. And also, the best thing about the Switch is, since you're playing games on the go, like, other gamers are coming out of the woodwork. Like, I'll be talking to people, and they'll be like, oh, what are you playing? I'm playing Zelda. Oh, man, like, I'm trying to update my climbing gear. You play? What? So I'm having a lot of good conversations. So the Switch, pretty good.
Well done, Nintendo.
Nintendo, they might just have a winner there.
Just have a hit.
Speaking of hits from nowhere, or at least I didn't know about it until it took the universe by storm, Undertale. Did you played Undertale?
I have not played Undertale.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, so this... both times that we've done the music show, you know, I've sort of reached out to Facebook friends and just be like, hey, friends, what's your favorite video game music? Partially to get suggestions for the show, and, you know, also just because I really like finding new video game music. And so shout out to Katie Maskey, who both times that we did this recommended Undertale, and I didn't get around to it last time, but I started this one up. This was like the very first thing I found. Immediately loved it, and then went and basically listened to the entire soundtrack after that. And the entire thing is incredible.
Wow.
Okay. It's sort of like Castlevania, we were going before, where Neil was talking about during the thing. So I guess you didn't hear it, but we did. That there's just so much, so big of a just breadth of different things that they do with the soundtrack. And this was going to be my new sort of cool thing, the sort of jazz bass 8-bit thing, but... And we've already had that with Castlevania, so but we enjoyed it then, so we'll get some more of it again now.
Okay, so this one's called Ghost Fight.
Yes.
Okay. And we can't cue it up where you are in the game, because neither of us have played.
Yeah.
But
I believe it's the first boss fight.
Presumably you're fighting a ghost.
That'd be big if it's true.
All right, so people hit us up on Facebook to ask us whether or not you're fighting a ghost when you listen to Ghost Fight, but here it is. The Undertale theme, not the Undertale theme, an Undertale song, Ghost Fight. wow, that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. 8-bit jazz is not something that I thought that I wanted or would have liked. But it's great.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, especially when the bass comes in. I enjoyed watching your face going like, what is this? And then as soon as the bass started, you're like, okay, yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I sort of beamed like a child there. I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that to come. So I'm going to catch people up on a little bit of news. So we put out a poll last week. We've been having a lot of fun with our polls. We put out a poll last week, and currently it's in an absolute dead heat. Or actually, the polls ended because Facebook polls expire. So the poll that we had last week, how do you feel about a new console generation, is tied 50-50, filled with dread and excited. Now, Matt, did you vote in the poll?
I did vote.
And you voted?
I voted filled with dread.
Filled with dread, yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. I don't want to call out people because obviously you're entitled to your opinion, but I guess the people who voted excited are more financially stable than
Yeah, that was the big one for me. It's like, I am not really capable of spending another $400 on a box to sit beside my TV.
Yeah. God, I wish.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm still extremely happy with my PS4, which is my, you know, box next to the TV of choice.
There you go.
So I'm totally fine waiting many more years.
Yeah, I agree. Like we were talking about last week that the development cycle could be that we get it announced, not this year, but next year. Maybe it comes out in the year after that. But thank God that still feels soon. By the way, Skylar Hunt, the creator of the songs we listened to earlier, also voted filled with dread. So thank you, Skylar, for voting for that, for being part of the tie. Now, I guess Adam didn't vote, so that could be the tiebreaker. Filled with dread wins. Go us.
I feel like Adam would vote filled with dread.
100%. Not even close. Also, this past week, they released a video, they being Nintendo, released a video on Nintendo Labo, how it actually works. And I was confused by the first trailer. And the second trailer, I was like, oh my God, that's cool.
Yeah, I basically had the same reaction.
Yeah, so people out there, if you're curious, you can just go on Nintendo's YouTube channel. Nintendo actually has a shockingly active YouTube channel. Like, of pretty much any big-name game developer, I think they're the biggest on YouTube that I've seen. Because they'll post, like, partly because of Nintendo Directs, they post directly to YouTube, and if they have a trailer, like, they'll post Nintendo Direct in its completion, but then they'll also post individual trailers from that Nintendo Direct, so if a Nintendo thing comes out, your, like, subscription box will be flooded with, like, 30 Nintendo videos as they, and sometimes they'll have them in multiple different languages.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, Pokemon Trainer in English, Japanese, German, French. It's like, okay, calm down.
Here's the American one and the British one.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, Nintendo.
Here's the one with proper grammar. Ho!
Hey.
Here's one with a U in some words. That's the main difference. But yeah, the Nintendo Labo looks, which is actually really cool. So it looks like, basically, it's not entirely done by your Joy-Con. And when you make these new things, they're called Toy-Cons, which is
which
genius.
I love.
That's so clever. So it looks like they come with nodes and then a little bits of wiring, kind of. Because I was super confused how the heck the Joy-Con was gonna do this.
Yeah.
But not only in that trailer do they sort of, like, they talk about how they do it. They don't give away the exact specifics. But they say, hey, yeah, we know you're curious how this works, because it doesn't look like it should. We actually put a feature in for you to get to go and experiment with it. The Joy-Con or the Toy-Con garage. And that actually was probably the most appealing thing to me, because, like, again...
Oh, me too.
I'm not the type of person who made, like, Star Trek Enterprise in Minecraft, for example. But to be able to see what other people have done is one of my favorite things. See, like, the crazy stuff that other people... Like, people who make Buckingham Palace in Minecraft, for example. Minecraft is just the easiest one, because it's probably the most toy-y video game that there is. So, it looks really cool. And to answer the question that people might have had, if you buy a Toy-Con, it comes with software for that game. So, we were wondering if it's going to be, like, all-in-one disc. No. So, they didn't announce a price, I don't think. That's
not that I saw.
No. But if you get a Toy-Con for the robot, it comes with the robot game.
Yeah.
Or if you get the fishing one, it comes with the fishing game. So I wonder if they're all going to be the same price. Or if there's going to be a deal to get a bundle of them or something.
I have no idea. I mean, I would imagine price would likely be fairly reasonable. Because I think that's the point of the whole cardboard
thing,
right?
What would you bet on if you had to take a guess?
$20 each?
I was going to say $20. Yeah. $20 seems fair.
Yeah. Because it seems like a thing where you would want to buy multiples.
Yeah.
But yeah, the biggest thing that I'm excited for with it is the sort of programmable side of it, where you can come up with all your own stuff.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, you know, they have, you know, the if functions and all that kind of stuff, which I know nothing about, but I cannot wait to see, just check out the internet the week after this thing comes out and see what people have done.
Yeah.
You know, like the first guy to get his hand on 50 Switches and just see what he can do with all this stuff. That's going to be crazy. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, the engineers out there are just going to have a field day with this.
Yeah, any engineering parents, this is the dream gift for your child.
Yeah, if you want to get your kid into a STEM field, get them started with this kind of stuff. Now, I do want to move on to something completely different. This was, I was trying to think if it was the Halo theme. We did remember to play the Halo theme, but we didn't remember to play this theme. And as happy as Nintendo and the Toy-Con is, this is the game that's the exact opposite. God of War. God of War was another series that like really introduced people to the concept of sort of classical metal, like heavy stuff. That the idea that classical music could be heavy, right? Which I think to plenty of people of our generation is like, no, classical music is like elevator music kind of stuff. Like you don't listen to it.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, you and I are too.
As a classical musician.
Not too great example.
But I understand. That is sort of a general understanding.
Yeah, that classical and heavy don't go together, whereas the Kratos theme is the exact opposite. So we're going to give it a listen. Intense stuff. It gets you geared up to kill a god.
Yeah, I want to go kill a Cyclops or something.
Yeah. Just angry. Like, that was the theme of that game. I remember, like, maybe I'm just not looking hard enough, but I remember a lot of games of sort of the PS2 to PS3 era had, like, extras. One of my favorite things about actually renting movies is to be able to watch the special features.
Oh, yeah.
And I have some, like, fond memories. I talked about it before. I think in our Christmas episode, how I loved to look through the extras on Guitar Hero 2, Guitar Hero 1, and, like, see how they made the songs. Because back then, they were all covers, right? They didn't have the originals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting. And I remember vividly watching all the extras on the God of War game, like the original God of War 1. And now, basically, when they were trying to come up with the character of Kratos, they were just, like, imagine the angriest thing possible. Yeah, I mean, some expletives were used.
Yeah. Well, they got it across pretty well, I think.
Yeah. And then the soundtrack certainly carried that. And again, it's one of those things where you get like the sort of chanting that people, not to paint with too broad a brush, but people of our generation just don't listen to a lot of songs with chanting in them. So
yeah.
There's a Monster Hunter song in here, and you've gone away from that for our last song. So we want to move into another one where you kill large things. It's probably going to be a theme.
No, just not a theme now.
Yeah, which is fine, because this game just had a new remake come out for the third. No, it's been released.
It was
the second remake.
Released on PS2, remastered on PS3, and now remade on PS4.
On PS4. Did you get the PS4 version?
No, I didn't.
Uh-huh.
I've been watching somebody stream it, who's a first time player, which was a really cool experience.
Apparently, it's only $50, which would be nice if things are a little cheaper. What we're talking about, of course, is Shadow of the Colossus, which is one of those games that if you haven't played it, you should.
Yeah. For me, it's just one of the greatest games ever made.
Yeah. It's just straight up, like, in sort of, if you were describing movies, there's a certain bunch of movies that you should probably watch. You know, The Godfather, Star Wars, just, like, from various genres, just to kind of get a breadth of what the medium is capable of. I would put Shadow of the Colossus in the, as well as The Last of Us, which we played the theme song last time. Anyway, so Shadow of the Colossus is how we're going to end. This one's called The Opened Way.
Yes. Ooh. So this is when you're fighting the Colossus, you finally sort of break the puzzle to fight him. So you have the normal music basically going, and then this plays, and it's like, oh, This is Game On Now.
Yeah. Here we go. So we're going to, this is going to be what we're going to fade out to. We're going to be back to our regular time slot, just 5 to 5:30 next week. I believe TV Talkers has something cool planned. I think it's the West Wing. We'll have to check in with those people. But I hope you guys have a great week. Have fun playing some video games. Stay calm in your reading week. I think it's reading week right now, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So have fun doing nothing. And we'll see you guys next week.
You're listening to CJUM 101.5, broadcasting at 1200 watts on the University of Manitoba campus in Winnipeg, Manitoba, providing you with auditory sustenance since 1998.
Under the Needle, the KEXP Sessions.
Come on, let's go.
Under the Needle.
The KEXP